Thank you all for joining our teleconference as we discuss the positive impacts the new Farm Bill will have for the renewable chemical industry. I'm Matt Carr, Managing Director of the Industrial and Environmental Section at BIO, the Biotechnology Industry Organization. I'm filling in for Brent Erickson, who is unable to join today's call. President Obama is scheduled to sign the Farm Bill into law this very afternoon in East Lansing, Michigan, which is a fitting place given Senator Debbie Stabenow's leading role in shepherding the bill. Our industry once again thanks the Senator for her championship of the Energy Title programs and for the new provisions for renewable chemicals. Renewable chemicals are now defined within the Energy Title of the Farm Bill, an important and long overdue change. In the immediate term, this change allows companies that produce a monomer, polymer, plastic, formulated product, or chemical substance from renewable biomass to participate in the Farm Bill's Energy Title programs. Most specifically, companies that manufacture renewable chemicals as well as bio-based products made from those renewable chemical building blocks will be able to compete for loan guarantees under the Biorefinery Assistance Program. In the long term, it also establishes important policy status for renewable chemical technology, which will help in our industry's efforts to achieve parity in other policy areas, such as the tax code. These new provisions in the Farm Bill grew from Senator Stabenow's Grow It Here, Make It Here initiative. BIO stood with the Senator as she rolled out this initiative in February of 2012 during events across Michigan. The Grow It Here, Make It Here initiative called for strengthening the Bio-Based Markets Program and expanding the Biorefinery Assistance Program to support renewable chemicals and other bio-based products, in addition to advanced biofuels. Importantly, it also aimed to create a new tax credit for renewable chemicals. The provisions in the Farm Bill are just the first step to creating an even playing field for U.S. renewable chemical producers. The Energy Title programs will help innovative companies speed the development of new American-made products. It helps renewable chemical producers overcome the first hurdle to parity by being recognized in federal policy. But U.S. companies trying to commercialize homegrown renewable chemical technology also have been challenged by tight capital markets, and they face an additional hurdle in that they must compete for capital investment with other industries that can add a tax credit to their balance sheets. Senator Stabenow has introduced a production tax credit for renewable chemicals, similar to tax credits for other renewable technologies, and our industry will continue to work with her to complete this initiative. We agree with the Senator that when America grows its own resources and manufactures its own products, using technology developed right here, that our economy benefits. With that, I'll introduce our first speaker today. Lloyd Ritter is the co-director of the Agriculture Energy Coalition, which is a broad consortium of organizations and companies representing renewable energy, energy efficiency, and bioproduct stakeholders. Lloyd is also managing partner of Green Capital, a consulting firm specializing in environment, agriculture, and sustainability issues. Lloyd, the microphone is yours.
Thanks, Matt. By making modest necessary investments in renewable energy, energy efficiency, and renewable chemical technology, the five-year Farm Bill, signed into law later today, will have major benefits for energy security, economic growth, and environmental gains across the U.S. On behalf of the Agriculture Energy Coalition, we extend our thanks to all the bill's champions, including, of course, Chairwoman Stabenow, who deserves a great deal of credit for shepherding this forward. The coalition came together back in 2011 to represent a broad spectrum of renewable energy, energy efficiency, and bioproduct stakeholders. BIO was one of the founding members, along with the National Farmers Union. The coalition coalition members represent agriculture producers, biofuels, bio-based products, renewable electricity, environmental quality, and rural economic development leaders. The coalition members understood from the start that if we did not advocate across the board for the Farm Bill energy programs, if every group advocated only its own priority program, we would likely end up securing little to nothing in the Farm Bill debate. for the energy programs, the significant mandatory funding this bill is crucial. These programs unlock significant private investment capital for renewable energy and energy efficiency projects. It will help farmers build markets for new energy crops, bio-based products, and renewable chemicals, and create new good-paying jobs and other economic opportunities in rural communities. Although it's one of the smaller titles in the Farm Bill, the agriculture energy programs have produced huge benefits for rural communities. From 2008 to 2012, for instance, the Renewable Energy for America program, REAP, supported 7,600 U.S. projects that generated or saved more than 7.3 billion kilowatt hours of electricity, enough to power 680,000 U.S. homes annually. Those projects also created more than 18,000 new jobs. Since the REAP program's inception, it has funded projects in every single state. BCAP is supporting 1,100-plus farmers in 188 counties across 12 states. The Biorefinery Assistance Program is aiding efforts to build cutting-edge biorefineries from Florida to Michigan and New Mexico. That program will now support promising renewable chemical projects across the country. Farm Bill energy programs have already established a strong track record of reducing energy reliance in agriculture, sparking many energy projects using homegrown sources for greater energy security, and introducing new sources of biomass energy from energy crops. These are outsized benefits from just a small fraction of total Farm Bill outlays, less than 1%, in fact, of total Farm Bill spending. We look forward to the continued successes of these programs. That's it, Matt.
Great. Thank you, Lloyd. Next, I'd like to introduce Hugh Welsh, president of DSM North America, which is headquartered in New Jersey. He's held that position since October of 2010. DSM is a global life sciences and material sciences company active in health, nutrition, and materials. He was also a member of BIO's governing board. Hugh, take it away.
Thanks, Matt. And right off the bat, DSM would like to express its sincere and extreme gratitude to Chairwoman Stabenow for all of her hard work in bringing these issues to the forefront and getting a successful Farm Bill signed, hopefully in about an hour from now. We'd also like to thank BIO for all of its hard work over the last couple of years in pushing this through. As you mentioned, Matt, DSM is a large global multinational with $12 billion in sales, headquartered in the Netherlands. It is a company that's been active in biotechnology now for more than 75 years, with a significant portion of our products manufactured through the fermentation process. We've made significant foreign direct investments here in the United States over the course of the last 3 years, to the tune of about $4 billion. Some of that money, in excess of $150 million, has been foreign direct investment directly into the biofuel space. And we're encouraged by the inclusion of biochemicals in the new Farm Bill to help incentivize us to, again, begin to move and expand our production of biochemicals here in the United States as well. And we'll be pursuing and looking at opportunities to do that going forward with the certainty and the predictability that this new Farm Bill brings. When DSM looks at the Farm Bill, we look at it as really a biotechnology jobs bill. And we look forward to continuing to work with the agencies impacted, as well as the U.S. government, to find opportunities to build new plants, new facilities, and create new jobs here in the United States. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Hugh. Last, I'd like to introduce Governor Mark Schweiker, Senior Vice President and Chief Relationship Officer at RENMATICS, which is based in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. RENMATICS has developed the plant throws process, which uses supercritical hydrolysis to quickly break down non-food biomass into cellulosic sugars. And Mark is also the former governor of Pennsylvania. Mark, take it away.
Thanks, Matt. And I'll just mention, as a nice contrast to Hugh's observations about the important work of DSM and the accomplishments that they've enjoyed for 75 years, we're a smaller concern. So much like DSM and, you know, the members of Lloyd's important coalition, we track very closely the goings-on related to the Farm Bill, and we couldn't be happier, and I do speak for Mike Hamilton, our CEO, and RENMATICS as a company. As a smaller concern, we're delighted to see the progress and the fact that we're just a short couple of minutes away, so to speak, from the president signing the Farm Bill. So let me just say, relative to Senator Stabenow and the other lead members of the committee itself, and Senator Cochran and so on, that having been the president of a legislative body, I certainly have a feel for what it takes, not just in a technical and substantive sense to create an attractive bill, but to get it to the finish line and know that it's going to be signed momentarily, that it's really, it just exemplifies, I think, the intelligence and the wisdom and the savoir faire of Senator Stabenow, and certainly along with my colleagues, tip our hat, the Renmatics hat to Senator Stabenow. We appreciate, you know, sustaining and the leadership. So let me just also mention, from the standpoint of being an executive in a smaller company that's growing every day and competes every day out there in this global marketplace, and I do work at this every day, whether it's, you know, site selection of for assets, to product development, to capital formation. As I see it, friends, this amounts to the passage of the Farm Bill and the enactment of the many provisions that have been cited in part during this conference call, that it says to the world that we're willing to do what we properly can to win this competition for renewable chemical operations, or as we call it, biochemical assets. And it's as if we have this impressive, large, blinking neon sign at the borders that says, we're open for business. So as Renmatics goes at it every day, we're encouraged to see the U.S. stepping up like this and making sure that the Farm Bill guarantees that these programmatic commitments are there and the funding options are there as well. And I will tell you this, as someone who's at it every day, there are countries out there that if we let them, friends, they're going to eat our economic lunch every day. And so we've got to do what we can to compete and to be attractive and to be alluring. And that's why I do want to underscore our interest in that production tax credit. But when you look at what China's prepared to do, even Canada, a place like Malaysia, we are in a very competitive environment. And as we see that Renmatics, the advancement of this Farm Bill, and now soon to be available for the next 5 years, it's an attractive outcome. And as I said a moment ago, amounts to the U.S. saying, we're ready to compete, and more importantly, we're ready to win. And the win means an awful lot. If you stop and consider the potential size of this market, some folks estimate it to be $2.5 trillion generally across the clean energy realm. That we do it right on top of the 400,000 jobs that we have managed to create in the last number of years, generally in this clean energy realm, we could have another 200,000. So aside from the substantive elements of the bill, aside from the politics that we discussed, you know, aside from the SNAP issue, which we knew was a subset of this, it's a banner day for the U.S., And as I see it, for all the folks who are going to work out there or working on this sunny Friday, at least on the East Coast, that hopefully they're encouraged. And when you stop and consider how this build-out is going to occur in a mechanical and assets sense, these jobs are going to be in rural America. So someone mentioned, I think you mentioned, that DSM sees it as a jobs creation measure. We see it the same way. So this is a fine day for the U.S., and I think a memorable day, and we're going to look back and see it that way as far as what this Farm Bill can engender in those rural communities. So, Matt, thanks for the opportunity to participate, and I know you're trying to move this along, so I'll end there. Thank you.
This is Matt Carr. I'll start maybe by asking both first you and then Mark if you could maybe describe briefly one of your commercial products or products that you have under development and how the Farm Bill measures might help to move that forward?
Sure, Matt. This is Hugh. I'll take that up. DSM has technology in place already and a pilot manufacturing facility to make biosucinic acid. We currently do that in Italy because, as Mark said a little earlier, there are countries around the world competing for our investment dollars, and those countries were in a better competitive position prior to today than the U.S. has. With the new farm bill, this now has us look again at the United States as a market that's a positive market for our investment dollars to perhaps at some time in the future manufacture biosucinic acid or any number of other biochemicals here in the United States. In DSM, again, we're a large multinational conglomerate, but we have the aspiration to one day replace all of the products that we manufacture currently through petrochemical processes with biorenewable processes. A lot of the R&D work and in the future manufacturing work that will be done to ensure that that happens can now happen here in the United States. So as DSM's president of North America, it's a bright and sunny day for me, both literally and figuratively.
Thank you.
Matt, I'll just add that, and you were kind enough to mention the Plantrose process. I won't go into the technical particulars, but our first approach, and there's going to be other applications, is to take hardwood and, from through the supercritical hydrolysis process, generate these important valuable sugars like glucose and xylose. And, we want to be near the biomass. And so the U.S. has impressive, acres and acres, depending on the site that you mention. But let me offer a contrasting remark in the fact that we've got a $750 million commitment from Vineshnikom, which is a Russian federal institution, a banking institution, because they, too, want to capitalize on their forest industry and the acres that they've got. A lot of birch over there. And ironically, as the Sochi-based Olympics kick off, I'm bringing up Russia. But we all know, we all have a sense and a mental feel for what Russia is all about. And they have impressive assets. And they're interested in monetizing those. So, that's an example of the magnetic pull of one country. And I mentioned some other countries earlier. But we've got to make this siting decision. And as we work with our partners, we've got two large multinational enterprises that are strategic backers of ours. I mean, BASF is the largest chemical company in the world, and not only are they an investor, the investment in Rheumatics is the largest they've ever made, short of buying a company, and along with an innovative Finnish firm that are ready to move ahead to operate facilities, that, we've got to make decisions. We've got to size up big picture considerations, what's available to us. So as someone who's on the front lines of that kind of effort, when I can look these folks in the eye, these intelligent, industry savvy executives that have been doing this stuff a long time and can say that, well, we've got two or three locations in mind, two or three sites in mind, and one or two of them in the U.S. Let's talk about what's indigenous to those U.S. spots. And we can say that this is a federal government backed by a very active Congress that just passed the Farm Bill. Take a look at what's part and parcel of that Farm Bill and what it means in an assistance sense, a financial incentive sense, or regulatory assistance sense. It's just, it makes our home, and I'm going to, obviously I want to be clinical as we look at the world and look at North America, but to be patriotic for a moment, as a former governor of a state here in our country, that I'd like to see us acquit ourselves in a compelling way and ultimately see it operate here, whether it's one or five such plants. So these are, in the least, tremendous compelling talking points, and at best, when fused with components of a deal, tremendous financial incentives that guarantee that the U.S. stands up and, in fact, secures the commitment that those facilities will operate here and not for years, for generations. So,
thank you, Mark. We have an email question from Rachel Gantz at Opus that I'll direct to Lloyd Ritter. Rachel asks, how soon will we see funding opportunity details stemming from the energy title of the Farm Bill? Lloyd, do you have a sense on that?
Yeah, I do. I don't have tremendous specifics, unfortunately. USDA obviously is getting ready to go here. It's been a long slog on the Farm Bill, but I do believe there will be a variety of funding announcements across the board in the coming weeks. I have heard that REAP, for instance, will have a NOFA out on the street, notice of funding availability in the next month or so. And we have fiscal year 14 monies that are being made available from the Farm Bill. So these are supplemental to some existing funds that had already existed previously that were rollover funds for some of the programs. So I do think we're going to see some funds in the street over the next couple of months. That's the sort of the answer in a nutshell. I can't really give much more specifics yet because the bill hasn't really gone through the process over at USDA just yet until it's signed, and then they have a little bit of time to make some adjustments to the programs based on the statutory requirements.
We have a question from Doris DeGuzman.
Hi, this is Doris. I was just wondering is there any quantifiable numbers on how much the renewable chemical industry can get from these new farm bill, such as loans within 5 years?
Doris, it's Matt Carr. So the farm bill reauthorization includes $200 million total mandatory funds for the Section 9003 biorefinery assistance program. USDA is able to leverage those funds, I think up to close to about the 10-to-1 ratio, because they are loan guarantees and not grants. And so the potential for that program is to support a pretty substantial number of commercial biorefinery projects that will cut across the spectrum from advanced biofuels to renewable chemicals to bio-based product manufacturing.
Hey, Matt, I'll just add, I know for a fact, since we track this stuff, when you look at, and you mentioned 903, and you mentioned the leverage impact of, generally $10 of private capital for every dollar of federal investment. But if you look at what the Rural Development Unit inside USDA is managing, it's probably, to give you some perspective, and this doesn't happen overnight because these transactions take time to culminate, but they probably have $100 billion in assets. So we are talking about generations in impact, with tremendous employment opportunity and, tremendous opportunity for rural locations to benefit from this. So that would be one metric I'd introduce into the conversation. And keep in mind, too, just for perspective's sake, when it comes to these, we keep emphasizing the rural America impact. I mean, it's in an innovation and research and development sense, every state has an opportunity to participate in this. When you look at the supply chain relative to renewable chemicals, we will ideally produce these, at least in our case, the cellulosic sugars, near the source of its biomass. And ideally, not too far from the ultimate destination markets, and that's where our downstream partners come into play. But it almost guarantees that rural America will be a tremendous beneficiary from today's signing and over time. But 100, I think when you look at that number, $100 billion in assets. So high impact, to say the least.
Thank you, Mark. Operator, are there other questions?
We have a question from Eric Kane.
Yes, hi, how are you all, guys? can you tell me, hands down, in maybe a sentence or just two, what is the most important part of the energy title? I know.
That's an answer, because I think all of us would probably give it this one. But Matt, do you want to take the first cut?
Lloyd, go ahead. You start on that one.
But, you know, speaking on behalf of the coalition, I can't give you an answer to that. I think I would say this. I would say that there are three really core programs that we find fundamental to the energy title, which include REAP, BCAP, and Biofinance Assistance Program. And I think all of those have been mission-critical agenda items for the coalition and for a lot of folks outside of the coalition because they're so integral to developing the rural energy economy. And so that would be my short answer. But there are other programs that are important as well, including the BioPreferred program, which costs very little to the federal treasury, but it has a very outsized impact because of the federal government's purchasing power, which, as you know, the federal government's the largest consumer in the entire United States, bigger than any Fortune 500 company, and they are able to purchase these bioproducts made from renewable agricultural materials that are listed by USDA and made by some of the companies on this call. And so that would be sort of my approach to it, but I don't know if others want to add something to that.
Well, Matt, I'll just add, it's hard to offer just a, you know, a succinct one-word, one-program answer because they all have tremendous virtue. So I would just say that when you, as you look at this endeavor and just the gravitational pull, so to speak, of the Farm Bill as it relates to renewable chemicals, you know, it's a very powerful signal to the investment community. So aside from the, you know, the politics that we've discussed already and the technical ins and outs and some of the, you know, the federal speak language that's part of the Farm Bill, all important, is, you know, the signal that it says to the that it sends to the investment community that the U.S., the political class, the leadership in Washington, D.C., and I think it's also the same in many state capitals, it says, we're all in. We're going to compete. And they will match that. They will respond in kind. So as I see it in totality, it's a very powerful magnet that Senator Stabenow has sent out there in an economic sense. It says, hey, look at us, and we're going to compete.
This is Hugh. I'll just weigh in. From our perspective, creating parity for biochemicals is a very important addition to this iteration of the Farm Bill. We'd like to move to real, true biorefineries. So these could be refineries that produce both fuels as well as chemicals from biorenewable resources. And in our case, it would be cellulose. The other part would be the BioPreferred program, as Lloyd mentioned. It creates a much greater awareness about the biorenewable material space beyond those of us in this community that discuss it every day. And I think that general awareness and at the end of the day, some commercial market pull will help build this industry in the U.S.
Yeah, thanks, Hugh.
Thank you.
Next question.
I have a question from Philip Brasher.
Yes, I would... I pose this for several, any of you, but a two-part question. One is a follow-up of what you was talking about in terms of the dual products, biofuels and biochemicals. Of course, in the these loan guarantees have already been available for cellulosic fuels, but those have been very slow to develop, as we all know. How does this change the equation for a facility that's going to produce both? I mean, you're producing biofuels. You're already this sort of funding was already available. And the second question is, as far as the production tax credit, where is that? This is a question for Matt or Lloyd. What size of credit are you looking for and do you have any kind of offset? I mean, how realistic is that, given, I assume, the cost?
So, Matt Carr, I'll take your second question first and then hand it over to the participants for the response to your first question. On the renewable chemicals production tax credit, the credit rate is 15 cents per pound of qualifying bio-based content. That's roughly sort of equivalent to the rates that are available to advanced biofuels in the code currently, if you look at it on a BTU basis, for example. That that sort of incentive will help to level the playing field in terms of investors looking at renewables, so that they're judging the technologies on their merit and not based on the inconsistencies of the code. The bills have been introduced now in the House and in the Senate with multiple co-sponsors, and we're continuing to work to raise awareness and add additional support. On the first question, do I have anybody in the line that would like
to? This is Hugh, Matt. I can jump in very quickly. DSM has a joint venture together with POET to build a commercial-scale cellulosic ethanol plant in Emmitsburg, Iowa. And that construction has been well underway and is near completion. And it's true that we didn't avail ourselves of the loan guarantee program that existed for cellulosic biofuel, although it was something we considered at the time. Instead, we made a direct capital investment as DSM. But going forward, we see the loan guarantee program now extended to biochemicals as something that offers greater opportunity for the development of this technology going forward, because it's not our intention to build the dozens of facilities that will be required to produce biofuels and biochemicals going forward. It's our intention as DSM to license this technology to others who may not be quite as large or capitalized as we are, and who would need to take advantage of some of these loan guarantee programs in order to exploit our technology through a licensing program, but also produce the quantities that the nation's going to require going forward. So, you know, we see an extension of the program to biochemicals as an excellent step in realizing this vision of ultimately creating a true biorefinery.
Can I just follow up real quick? Is part of this because you see biochemicals is possibly more promising than biofuels going forward? I mean, obviously we have the issue with the ethanol blend wall, and EPA is struggling with that right now. But is that partly what's going on here?
Well, I mean, I don't see it as an either or. I see it as both. And I can only speak for DSM. I mean, we're looking to grow both the advanced biofuels business, but also the biochemistry business. And there's certainly a tremendous opportunity in the biochemistry business. And perhaps there's a greater opportunity if we can leverage the two together. But right now, we're working independently. As I said, we have a joint venture in Italy where we're producing biosucinic acid, and we have a joint venture here in the United States where we'll be producing cellulosic ethanol. So it's not as though we're abandoning one in pursuit of another. We see it as a complementary dual-track strategy.
We have another email question from Rachel Gantz at Opus. What will the overall impacts be on the farm bill for the biofuels industry, especially if EPA maintains cuts to the RFS? Matt Carr, I'll take that one. As we've stated many times before, the renewable fuel standard really is the fundamental policy foundation for the growth of the advanced biofuels industry. Bio just recently submitted lengthy formal comments to EPA in opposition to their proposal to reduce the mandates for advanced and total biofuels for 2014. Many of our member companies have indicated that that proposal puts at serious risk the investment in their advanced biofuels projects of today and particularly those of tomorrow. The impact of the farm bill, I think we like to say that the farm bill policies as well as the tax code work hand in hand with the RFS to help accelerate the adoption and deployment of advanced biofuels. The loan guarantee program, the biomass research and development initiative under the farm bill, and the biomass crop assistance program all help to mitigate the risk associated with scaling up first of a kind next generation biofuels facilities. But we have to be assured of a market for those fuels, and that's where the RFS comes in. So the farm bill programs are very important and will remain a key part of deployment of the technology, but we do need the EPA to stand firm, as well as Congress to stand firm on the RFS to ensure markets for those fuels.